You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Today is Palm Sunday. A week before we celebrate the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next Friday, Easter Friday, Sunday, celebrate it. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that they were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were exalting God's name. They were happy to see him and they received him with open arms. The Bible says they threw down branches, palm branches, put on their clothes. Jesus was riding on a donkey, entering in, people receiving him, but in his heart he knew why he was there, knew what would happen a week from now. I said on Thursday night, I shared with the people at the prayer, I said, we are all donkeys being used by God. And it's not about the donkey, but who sits on the donkey. But you know, sometimes when people are throwing down branches to walk on, and we are walking on those branches, and they're throwing down the clothes, and we're walking on the clothes that God is allowing us because he's on us, using us as an instrument. And we hear, blessed is he, blessed is he. How many times do we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, is that Hosanna for me or for you? Is that blessed is he for me or for you? The palm branches that's been thrown down that I'm walking on, a matter of fact, I'm walking on them, Lord. Is it me doing it? Every Hosanna, every blessed, everything that gets thrown down is all for God and for his glory. Amen. Everything. How many times was they, oh wow, look what God is doing. And we'd want to take the glory where God should get all the glory. Amen. And I was thinking about Jesus, how he must have prepared his heart and been ready. That even as he walked in and they shouted Hosanna and blessed and invited him in, he knew because these people had not prepared their hearts. A week from now, the same people who shouted Hosanna would be shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But because Jesus understood his calling and his purpose, he was focused and he went in. Just imagine if people are saying to you, hello, how are you? It's so good to have you here. But actually in your heart, you know, they've invited you here. They're going to kill you. What would your heart be towards them? But God loved us so much. Even when we hated him and we wanted nothing to do with him, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And I realized how important it is as we even get ready for Easter weekend that we have to prepare our hearts. Many people want to receive gifts, impartations, want to travel far to receive a blessing. But have you prepared the altar of your heart? You want a gift from heaven, but is heaven in your heart? Am I talking to the right people here this morning? So this morning, I want to talk to you about your heart is the altar. And this will bring me to our sermon topic for today. Your heart is the altar. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your tremendous grace that you have towards us. Help us, O Lord, to prepare our hearts as the altar, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. That whatever we offer unto you would be a sweet-smelling aroma that will bring great pleasure to you, honor to you, in everything that we do. And we thank you for that. We bless you for that. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice and touch and change hearts, O Father, and take us from where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 23:19. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Our heart is the altar. And we have to make sure that our hearts are sanctified. People welcomed Jesus, and it's good to welcome Jesus into your life. But you have to prepare your heart and say, Lord, I'm going to surrender this completely to you. Remember how salvation comes to mankind. We confess with our mouths unto salvation, Jesus Christ is Lord. He has died and he's been made alive. But in our hearts, we believe unto righteousness. His righteousness, sanctifying our hearts, that our hearts can be made righteous. Righteousness is not for those who confess it, but those who believe it. Do you believe in your heart that God has made you righteous? Because if you believe in your heart that God has made you righteous, your behavior should change to that of a righteous person, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Many people today, they welcome Jesus, say, come in. They shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because they want the gift. But how many are prepared to be a friend of Jesus? Are you ready to be a friend of God? We want to receive the healing, the deliverance, the breakthrough. But are you prepared to be a friend of God? You know, in the Old Testament, they used to make sacrifices. They had to build an altar. That altar had to be sanctified. And then offerings were brought upon it. Today, we don't have to do that anymore. But your heart has become that altar. Turn to the person next. You say, your heart is the altar. And this altar, when we want to offer something on it, this altar cannot be defiled. I was this morning just thanking God for his goodness and his mercy in my life. One of the first prayers that my parents taught me, that they prayed with us every night. And I remember as a little boy, I used to pray it with all my heart. It was a part Dutch, part Afrikaans. Maybe I must let my mom say the prayer to us. Can we do that? A mother's prayer. I'm saying this to you. When mothers pray, things start to happen. Amen. I'm putting her on the spot. She doesn't know this.
Ek ben 'n kindjie klein. Die Here maak my hartjie rein, sodat niks daarin mag woon, net liewe Jesus alleen. Amen.
Amen. I am a little child, a benekinky klein. The Lord Jesus purifies my heart and sanctifies my heart so that nobody can live in my heart except Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And I used to pray that with all my heart as a child. Jesus, sanctify my heart, cleanse my heart, that only you would live in my heart. And I thank God that when many things came to me that people battled with, that defiled the heart of man, God by his grace protected my heart from those things. Yesterday we had the Save Our Children conference. And I'm telling you, I told you previously that it's one of the best five conferences I've ever attended last year's. And yesterday's conference shook me to my core even more. Can I see who of the parents were here yesterday? Just raise your hand. Who of you will attend another one? Shout loud. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when the Bible says my people perish because of a lack of knowledge, we read it, but we don't know. Can I tell you something, parents? We as adults are going to have to go to our children and repent for exposing them to rubbish that is influencing them that they cannot serve God in the way that they should. And you're fighting with them and say, come to church. But at home, you're feeding them sewage water, and then you want to tell them to come to church and drink clean water. I'm thinking, even myself, God has convicted me. I'm going to go to my children and say, forgive me. You know what's the biggest sin that we do? This, we want this to be the altar, to be sanctified. But you know what you do? You give them this. when they cannot handle this and what's on this. We want to preach and say, let's prepare our hearts to be pure, to be holy. We want to say, blessed is he who has a pure heart, or God blesses the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we say we want to see God. But Mondays or Sundays to Sundays after church, we're looking at this. And I was shocked yesterday when I saw the statistics of our nation. We as a church are going to have to wake up. Family, one thing I know is that God has predestined us to be here right now. If you're sitting here, it's because God the Father has allowed you to be drawn closer to Jesus. That means heaven is aware of you, heaven is aware of your family, and heaven is aware of your children. And God will not, yes, give the Lord a hand. God will not allow us to go and face something that we cannot handle. The Spirit of God is not scared of anything. Holy Spirit is not embarrassed about your situation. The Holy Spirit went into hell and rose Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit's not scared of hell. And if you find yourself trapped in hell, when you turn to God in humility and sincerity of heart, he will help you. Amen. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Who creates the pure heart in us? God. Not you cutting out everything. You coming to God and say, help me to break with everything. Listen to me. If you don't deal with the root of the problem will remain. That's why I said this is spiritual warfare. I've already spoken to the intercessors. We're changing our prayer and a lot of things to pray for not just the city and our church, but this nation. Are you ready to have your mind renewed? Are you ready to change your way of thinking? To let the stinking thinking go and to start to embrace heavenly thinking? Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Can I tell you something that I realized? I've always wondered and I said, God, how can you say, if God didn't shorten the time, not even the very elect would make it. I said, how is that possible? And I'm telling you now, it's through this. It's through this. A young generation that needs likes and acceptance from this, from people they don't even know. And if they don't get a thumbs up, they feel rejected. And this hurts people and offends people when they cannot handle it. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, just put it up quickly. It says that our souls should be sanctified. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. How do you purify your soul? Through the truth, through the word of God. Your will, your intellect, your emotions. With sincere love of the brethren. You know what God requires of us? To love one another in humility and sincerity of heart. Many Christians still love under compulsion. I love you with the love of the Lord because the Bible says so. No, no, no. Surrender this. Surrender this and let go of the offense. Fervent love with one another from a pure heart. A pure heart. Sanctified soul, sincere love, pure heart. Can you see how much you need God? Can you see how much you need God? This altar is what the devil is after. This is what he's after. He wants this. Because if he's got this, he's got you. Because out of this flows the issues of life. If he contaminates this, even the best gift is not acceptable. So what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It means daily I sacrifice myself. I lay my life down and say, God, your will, not my will. When we come and we offer and lay down on the altar, oftentimes we have to lay down our weaknesses. But can I tell you something? You also have to lay down your strengths. You need revelation to understand. We think we only want to surrender to God our weaknesses. Lord, help me with this weakness. No, if you have a strength, you also have to give it to God. Because you need God with your strength as well. You don't just need God in your bad times. You need God in your good times as well. He is Lord when you're going through a hard time. And he is Lord when you're going through a good time. Otherwise, you'll just seek him in the hard times. But you actually need him more in the good times. Because now you have to maintain it. This heart. Abraham had revelation and understanding that you can only offer to God. You can only give to God what comes from God. You cannot bring your drug money as a tithe. Cannot the money that you stole and duped from somebody bring that as a tithe? Lord, thank you, I did a good job. I really did that guy in. I just want to honor you. God bless you. No, no, no. It doesn't work like that. Go read Cain and Abel. There's an offering that's acceptable and there's an offering that's not acceptable. You have to offer to God what's acceptable. Cannot in your heart love your brother and you've not forgiven him. And you want to come and sing, I love you, Lord, more than yesterday. I love you. Oh, yesterday, you nasty man. What did you do? And you remember that guy. If you have the Holy Spirit, as soon as you want to sing, I love you, Lord, that person's face will be here and the Lord will say, put your gift down before you place it on the altar and go make right. That when you bring the gift to worship God, the sacrifice of praise, it will be pleasing. Abraham, when God asked him, sacrifice your son, he knew what would follow. When God asks you to make a sacrifice, lay something down, you can be assured he will give it back. But only when you do it in humility and sincerity of heart. You cannot fool God. A matter of fact, when you are a true son of God, any sacrifice, you'll view it as worship. When they said to Abraham, where are you going? He said, me and the lad, we're going yonder to worship. You stay here. You cannot come with us. You have to stay here. We're going to worship now. We're going to exalt God. We're going to magnify him now. That's an altar. That's a heart that's been prepared. And the Bible says it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he became the father of faith. Your obedience, when it comes to a sacrifice that you make unto the Lord, that you bring as worship, affects generations to come. A surrendered heart sees any sacrifice as part of their worship. Oh, I'm sacrificing for the Lord, do you know? The time that you give, who's given you the time? God, the strength that you have to carry 10 chairs when other people can only carry 2 chairs. Who's giving you that strength? The Lord. The fact that you can do homework faster than anybody else. Who's giving you that grace? The Lord. That you got the promotion quicker than other people. Who's that? It's the Lord. So if God gives us everything, why do we boast? With that donkey saying, is the Hosanna for me or for you, Lord? On our knees. Let's prepare our hearts this week, an altar that's pleasing unto the Lord. We worship God from our hearts, in spirit and in truth. When you allow the Word of God to become an integral part of your life, by its very nature, it will start to change you, and you find yourself acting, walking, planning with God. This word is light into our lives, and God's Spirit is life into our lives. That's why you are born. That's why you must be born again. And when you become born again, you are born of the incorruptible Word of God. Can you see the importance to read your Bible? Can you see the importance to pray in the Spirit? Can you see the importance to be in a living church? So this altar, turn to the person next to you, say, I'm busy repairing the altar. So the same way that Jesus had to prepare his heart and say, I know my purpose, I know what God has called me to do. There might be some suffering, but he said, for the joy set before me, I endured the cross, because he knew what would happen. All that God wants is his rightful place in your heart, this altar to belong to him. Can I ask you something? What is there that you have to place on the altar before Easter? What is there that God has asked you just to lay down? No. I've come to church to ask God to bless me, to give me something to put on the altar. No. What is there that's most precious to you? Your strength. When Abraham had to give Isaac, his legacy, his name, his reputation, everything was on the line. But he said, God, I trust you more than anything. Turn to the person next to you, say, I can see Jesus in you. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the impact. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the impact. Jesus Christ is the greatest sacrifice ever made, and it's had the greatest impact on humanity. If you know that God has called you for great things, but you're not prepared to make great sacrifices, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to make it. God calls us by grace. He saves us by grace. But after he saved us by grace, not our own works, so that he gets all the glory, he empowers us with grace to do all the good works that he's predestined for us to do. Go read Ephesians 2:10. Then you allow the grace of God to work in you to empower you to do what you have to do. God is able to do far more abundantly whatever we could think or imagine. But oftentimes we just wait for God to do it. You know, most charismatics would never enter into the promised land. You know why? Because they'll wait outside and say, no, God said he's bringing the promised land to me. And God says, no, go into the promised land and go possess it. Everywhere you're going to put your feet, you'll have it. No, God said he'll bring me the promised land. By grace, God is bringing it. I'm waiting for it. What, is he going to roll it up and bring it to you and put it down under your feet? No, he gave you legs to walk. To do. He said, go into the world. Turn to the person next to you, say, go. Turn to the person on the side, say, go do what you have to do. So, I think what God requires of us is not just worship with our mouths, but it's worship from our hearts, an altar that's been prepared. Take some time, and whatever is contaminating this, get it out. Say, Holy Spirit, what is here that's causing a blockage between me and you? Maybe it's all those sirloin steak recipes that we love to watch. Medium and medium rare, and I'm going to make it. Oh, my family is going to love it. But it's stealing time away. And I mean, go make the nice steak for your family. Do that. Be the good dad and do that. But sometimes that steals time away. I said to my wife, a mentor that had a tremendous impact in my life, he said something to me once and I didn't understand it. And I said to my wife, I now am starting to understand it. He said to me, entertainment is the one thing that destroys the grace of God quicker than anything else. And I didn't understand what he was saying. But I start to realize now that this thing, if we are watching this the whole time, it contaminates this, places things here that affects us. This is the altar. Family, listen to me. Mommies, daddies, you cannot let your 6-year-old, your 7-year-old, your 12-year-old play games that are PG-18 and think this will not be contaminated. Let me rephrase it for you quickly. If the world that the Bible says we should not live in or be a part of it, we're living in the world, but we don't live the worldly way. If the world says people that are 18 should not play it, why do we as Christians think, oh, by the grace of God, it's okay, they can play the game? You have to rethink it. You cannot do that. Turn to the person next to you, say, hey, no. We have a tremendous responsibility as parents. I was pondering upon this yesterday. The Save the Children conference, we're busy with awareness to make parents aware. And I suddenly realized it's the wrong thing that we're doing. I don't need parents that's aware. I need parents that's committed. I don't need Christians that say, I'm aware of the Holy Spirit. I'm aware that I have to live holy. I'm aware that I have to forgive. I'm aware I have to come to church. I'm aware I have to tithe. Awareness is zero. Commitment brings obedience. Obedience brings change. Turn to the person next to you, say, don't be aware. Be committed. When you're committed, then you'll change. I'm aware that I have to go to the gym. It's not changing anything in my life. Amen. It's only when I get committed and I buy the membership and actually go there that things start to change. Can I tell you something? Church, this is going to be painful. But we're going to change it from here out. Amen. Starting here out. I'm not ignorant. So we're going to deal with this. But one thing I know, it might be dark out there, but light expels darkness. Amen. Light expels darkness. We're going to let the light shine from here out. Psalm 51 verse 6, I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. Say, Lord Jesus, come into the hidden places of my heart. Come into the hidden places of my heart. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon my heart. Penetrate the hidden places and remove all shades of darkness. Amen. Passion Translation says, for the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I humbly bow down at your feet. Some people have been bound with sin. Their hearts are broken and shattered, and they say, Lord, how can you ever forgive me? How can I ever share this with anybody? Family, we are here to help you and to walk with you. We have support groups just focusing on that. That's what we do. We have a Save Our Children conference because we want to help children. This Palm Sunday, as parents, make a decision for this altar to belong to God. But more than that, not an awareness, a commitment to your children to help them to have pure hearts. Can I have a loud amen? Can I see your hand, commitment? Not, I know what they watch and they're so gentle, not my child. I want to almost guarantee you, if your child has got a password and you don't know what it is, if you don't know what it is and you cannot get into it, don't live in La La Land. Go check what's going on there and help them to have a pure heart. You're the parent. You're the parent. From today, it changes. No more obedient parents to children, but children that's obedient to parents. Amen. We have parents that feel guilty because they're working hard to provide, and now you've become obedient to your children with everything that they want. Protect their hearts. May God grant unto us as a church, as God is preparing his bride to be without spot and wrinkle, may God grant unto us humble hearts, sincere hearts, pure hearts, hearts that are quick to forgive, hearts that will not be grudges. Can I have one amen? Just a loud amen. Let me hear you pray. Say, Precious Father, grant unto me a humble heart, a sincere heart, a heart that is quick to forgive, a heart that will not bear grudges. Remove any and everything from my heart that's not pleasing to you. Uproot everything which is not of you, and plant everything that's of you in Jesus' mighty name. Remember, your heart is the altar. When you look at that Old Testament picture of where they came and they can bring a sacrifice, an offering unto the Lord, sweet smelling aroma to please him, this is your heart now. That's why any place you can just kneel down and say, Precious Father, oh Lord, and by the blood of Jesus that speaks for you, that sanctifies your heart, you can enter into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.